final segment here on Canuck Central. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah coming up. The full Canuck Central pregame show, Canucks and Utah Hockey Club from beautiful Salt Lake City. So I'm told. I've never been, actually. So I may have just lied to you. I don't know. Have you ever been to Salt Lake City?
I have not. No. No. I would like to go. I've heard how beautiful it is, and I saw the photos from people that had traveled to Salt Lake to watch.
I mean, Murph took a photo of mountains. It's like, okay.
We have mountains.
We got mountains.
Yeah. We also have the sea.
Nope, never been to Salt Lake City, Utah.
No, but I hear good things.
My wife, though, she does watch a lot of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Oh, really?
Which is based in Utah.
Oh, surprise. It
looks like it's a vibe.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a super interesting show.
I have no idea. I'm not going to comment any further.
You didn't even know that was a show that existed.
I had no idea.
Riccio pretending like he doesn't watch it too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, if your partner is watching something, you live together, that means you're also watching it. I think that's just, you know, what happens.
It's totally the thing where I'll be like in the other room, like trying to do something else, and I hear the TV going off. Like, she did what?
Yeah, what?
100%.
You know the thing about those shows too is like you'll watch it with your partner, and you're like, this is trash, and then somehow you end up getting invested.
They're just invested. So ridiculous. It's like, I know it's not actually reality, but you know what? It's still.
That's like, saw a show about flipping yachts. I'm like, why am I watching this?
Because maybe it'll give you good intel for when you start flipping yachts in the future.
Probably not.
All right. It's time for Overrated and Underrated. Hit the music. Overrated, underrated, perfectly rated. You give us the topics. We decide if they are one of those three things. We have producer Elon Chark with us today. What do we got?
So now that we saw what Kako got on the trade market, Will Borgen coming back, Jay's wondering, what is Nils Höglander's trade value? Is it overrated or underrated?
Overrated, I'd say, right? Like, how can
overrated within the Canucks fan base?
Yes, because I mean, I don't think Höglander is viewed as a similar caliber of value as Kako. I think points-wise, you're right, but I think Kako is viewed as a better piece.
Well, there's more potential there.
Yeah.
Right? He was drafted second overall. He's got a size-speed combo that teams will really buy into. Power forwards, you know, the old cliche, power forwards take a little bit longer to develop, and you're hoping Kaapo Kakko becomes that. At the same time, like, he's topped out at 18 goals in a season, you know, that's... one carry the two, six fewer than Nils Höglander scored last year. So, I mean, Höglander, in the way that people will say he's underrated, you look at his underlying metrics, he deserves better from Rick Tocchet or whatever the take might be, the narrative might be that's out there. An NHL guy, NHL general managers will look and they'll see a lot of the same things that Rick Tocchet has his issues with and why Höglander has been under 10 minutes on a lot of nights this year. And they're going to say, I see the potential, but I also see the downside. And I see $9 million attached to that guy's future cap. So I'm not sure I want to pay too much for that. Ultimately, I think it's probably somewhere in a second round range where Kako is clearly worth a little bit more than that because he's a fairly recent second overall selection.
Yeah, so the trade ended up being a third, a sixth, and Will Borgen for Kako.
For Kako, yeah.
If they want to flip Borgen at some point, the value would be like a second, right? And let's say a second and a fourth for argument's sake, right? So the value of Kako was something like a second, a third, and a fourth, or two-thirds, something along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like a low-end first-round pick.
That's kind of the overall value they got for Kako. I don't think that's where Höglander is. It's a notch below that.
Yeah. So his trade value among the fan base, I'd say a little bit overrated, but certainly the way that he's played through the first 30 games of the season not helping his trade value.
Canucks in the market for a defenseman and a young defenseman in the rumor mill and a BC boy. Overrated, underrated. Bowen Byram's fit on the Canucks.
So I've been pretty consistent on this. For the Canucks, I'm not sure how much I'd be willing to pay for Bowen Byram, as much as I like the player. But you already have Quinn Hughes, Bowen Byram's best fit for a team is somewhere where he can play a good chunk of minutes, but also be the number one power play guy. And I'm just, you know, Quinn Hughes is the best power play defenseman in the league, pretty much. So it's kind of hard to say that you'd want having both Quinn Hughes and Bowen Byram would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But I, you know, given the trade acquisition cost, I'm not sure the fit is there for me necessarily with Bowen Byram.
So I think the player himself, if he's willing to play the role, I think he would be a great fit because he's a legitimate second pair of defenseman, a carry a pairing.
Yeah.
And I think that would move Soucy down to play on your third pair. And I think now all of a sudden you have three pairs anchored by a really solid left-hand defenseman. And as good as DPD might be, is this upside second pairing defenseman? Is it maybe third? I can see him replacing Soucy.
Yeah.
With time, and that's going to take some time, right?
Stay-at-home type.
Yeah.
He may not have like the shot and some of the offensive things that tools that Soucy has in his game.
And I think you can't, as good as Kudryavtsev has been and as positive as his development has been, I'm not sure you can earmark him to be your future lefty second pair defenseman holding down a second pair. I mean, if he becomes...
Life is tough for somewhat undersized left shot defenseman.
If he becomes a third pair guy, or just a guy who plays games, that's a huge step for a guy drafted as late as he was. And then Sawyer Minniu is the interesting one. But again, yeah. These guys, it's going to take some time, mm-hmm. You know, and you look at guys like Kako. He's 6 years in the league. He's only 23 now, but he's had 6 years in the league and he's still trying to figure it out, right? Yeah. And that's for NHL players, let alone guys that haven't gotten there yet. So I don't think there's anybody you can look at and say they're ready for that role in the next year or two. So I think Byram fits in. The question I have for Byram is, where can he go where the situation can be positive, as in you have a chance to win,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be the number one power play guy? He's going to have to compete. Now, with Hughes, he's never unseating Hughes, right? That's just not happening, and maybe that makes him reluctant to sign here long term. But what's most important to him? Because right now, I'm not sure he can go to a team that's established and become the top power play guy.
Yeah.
We don't have to go through every single team in the league.
It's probably like a murky middle team, you know?
Like is it the Blues?
Yeah, I was just thinking the Blues.
Right? But like,
who just got Cam Fowler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Minnesota doesn't really have a top power play guy because Faber isn't really necessarily that.
What's interesting is maybe a team like Washington where you can take over for Carlson in a year or two, but then that's a succession plan.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if there's a spot for him, especially as RFA, where he can dictate where to go and get everything he wants.
I guess Florida, but like they're losing Ekblad in the summer.
If they lose Ekblad, yes.
Yeah. So maybe, but you know, like there's not a ton of spots, right? You make a good point. There isn't a ton of spots where like the pathway is clear for Bowen Byram to walk into this top unit power play spot on a good team, on a contending team. Most contending teams have that sort of figured out already.
Yeah, even a team like the Flames, for instance. They have Rasmus Andersson and Mackenzie Weegar in front of them.
Well, the Leafs too. The Leafs would be one.
He'd be number one on their team?
Yeah.
You think
they've played like five forwards on the power play because they don't like Riley and they don't like Ekman-Larsson there either.
Yeah, true. But is Bowen Byram necessarily a better power play quarterback than Morgan Riley?
Given the struggles Riley has had the last couple years with that Leafs power play, I'd say yeah.
What have we seen about Bowen Byram do it? And again, like,
yeah,
it's based on projection.
Really, yeah, it's based on projection more than anything
else. And maybe
else.
He does. Again, like, I love Bowen Byram. I would trade for him. I would like for him to be here long term. He just has to be a little realistic, I think.
Yeah, it's fair. It's totally fair. I still worry about the acquisition cost.
Yeah, it's not going to be cheap. They traded Casey Mittelstadt for him, a legitimate second line young center.
And the other thing that is the reason that this part of the conversation is somewhat worrisome to me as well is because, like, well, if you're going to trade for Bowen Byram, pay the acquisition cost, I want to know that he's going to commit long term.
Yes.
And given some of the reporting, if he's in a spot that he doesn't necessarily think the number one spot is going to be available to him, he may not want to sign long term. So now, that's just going off some of the reporting. And maybe he wants a number one spot to ultimately, you know, increase his value on the open market, what he can earn, because he knows ultimately what's going to get you the most money and the most dollars is point production. And if you're not playing top unit power play as a defenseman, you're probably not getting the point production that gets you the mega deal you probably want as a fourth overall pick from a few years ago.
Is it worth trying it for the rest of the season and then reassessing in the offseason?
Yeah.
I mean, how much value does he lose as an asset?
Yeah.
Between now and the offseason?
Probably not a ton.
And if you're willing to move one of your prospects for a more established piece, mm-hmm. that means you're looking for a more established piece.
Yeah.
So could you move Byram then in the offseason if you had to for a more established piece that can help you out? Like, you could do that too. Like, so it's not, I don't think it's all in if you trade for him. Yeah. You could always reassess and see how it goes and see if maybe the fit works for him too and he sees value in staying here.
There is that possibility as well. So it's multi-layered, but it's not an easy question to answer. I think for, like, when you look at it from Buffalo's perspective, it was kind of curious when they made the trade initially, and now that this is ongoing, it's just like, we could all see this coming when you initially made the trade with the glut of left-shot defensemen. And
well, the funny thing is they're looking for somebody like Casey Mittelstadt.
Yeah. They're looking for a second-line center or somebody like that.
What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. All right, what's next?
Another defenseman on the trade market, a potential fit for the Canucks, Ivan Provorov. He's a UFA. His brother just committed to Ohio State, actually. So overrated, underrated, Provorov's fit on the Canucks.
Whew. I mean, some people are going to say overrated because we know that...
Of his political views.
Yes. Or, you know, socio...
Yes.
Views or that's whatever. Better way of putting it, much like Kuzmenko, right? So yes. I see a lot of reaction from people on that side of things. Not to downplay those things, right? Because people are allowed to feel however they want to feel about issues. But it's one of those things where if the team feels like he can help you, they can overcome those things. And I think over time, if a player contributes, you kind of blend in, you know what I mean? And you kind of overcome some of those issues. As far as the on-ice fit, is he an ideal fit to begin with? Like, you know... Forget that stuff for a moment.
Yeah.
As far as what he can bring to you on the ice, has he settled into being a more reliable two-way defensive guy that can give you PK minutes and not be the offensive player that he was projected to be early in his career?
I've liked his game in Columbus. I think there's a reason why he's got a positive view on how he's almost re-earned his reputation a little bit in the last little while. It's not a coincidence to me that it's come when he's had a quality right shot defenseman to play with as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's played most of his minutes with Damon Severson this year. Do the Canucks have the right shot defenseman to pair with Ivan Provorov if it's not Filip Hronek?
So you're saying Myers and Provorov? No, I mean, like, I'm wondering.
That's kind of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's that or Juulsen.
Right. And then you have Susie. So it would be Provorov, Myers, and then Susie Juulsen as your third pair, I guess, or something to that effect.
Yeah, and given how Juulsen and Susie have played, and especially if the minutes are more managed on the third pair, then you can live with Juulsen there, I think.
Yeah.
Ultimately, do you still add another depth piece at some point? Because you might want competition for Juulsen, especially if the RNA is not going to work here.
And
we like Friedman as depth, but not a guy that's seriously vying for a spot to play every night, right?
So in the context of the segment, overrated, underrated, Provorov's fit on the Canucks, I like the player. And I don't think there is a perfect fit on the trade market that we see right now. I also don't love what the trade acquisition cost is probably going to be. So, again, I'm going to say overrated Provorov's fit on the Canucks.
Yeah, I think it can be underrated because he would raise the ceiling of the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very few guys that can do that for you. Ultimately, I think the Canucks would love to get a guy that could move the puck and is probably better defensively.
Yeah.
You know, I think defense, how a player is defensively still matters a great deal. And ultimately, if you're not getting, say, you know, Bowen Byram, for instance, would you rather spend those assets on a right-hand defenseman?
How many playoff games has Provorov even played in his career? Can't be that much.
No, not a ton.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a lot. It's maybe a couple years with the Flyers.
He has played in the playoffs 18 games, 22 games.
22 games. And I think one was a bubble playoff here, I think.
Yeah.
The Flyers played in, I believe. But yeah, someone's texting and saying, you guys forgetting about Brännström? Sorry, Brännström's just not it. Like, he's depth, but he's just not it. He's not going to be the guy that makes a difference.
How many minutes did Brännström play the other night?
Just under 11.
Yeah. I think we're getting an answer on Brännström. And hey, not to pat ourselves on the back, but, you know, we tried to be cautious with Brännström. He had success out of the gate. He'll have some games where he really pops and he looks good. But ultimately, there's just some inconsistencies in his game that are always going to limit what he can do on a contending team.
And even if you think he's good and you want to justify that he's good, fine. The coaches don't believe that.
Yeah.
They're not going to use him as such. So he's not going to be a guy who's going to make a difference here in Vancouver outside of being depth, right?
Exactly.
The Utah Hockey... Yeah, go ahead, Reach.
Next. That's what I was going to say. Next.
Utah Hockey Club owner Ryan Smith, you touched on it earlier, announced single goal view seats for tonight's game, trying to pack the arena for the game against the Canucks, giving away 2,000 free tickets.
Yeah.
Overrated, underrated seats with an obstructed view.
If you're going for free, it's underrated.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if they're free, then yeah, it's underrated.
Yeah,
they've given away all the tickets.
Yeah.
So clearly enough, people think there's good value there just to get into the building.
Yeah, if you're a hockey fan, right, and let's say it's hard for you to, you know, afford going to games. I mean, I wouldn't, like, so college student me, right,
yeah,
that was struggling. If you gave me free tickets to go watch a game and it's obstructed views, but I'm like, I don't have to pay for tickets, but I cannot pay for some beverages and I get to be at the game.
Yep.
Sign me up.
I'll watch
half the ice and then the rest I'll watch on the Jumbotron.
I love the idea from him. You know, he knows that there is some imperfections in his building as they got an NHL team expedited after Arizona had to leave their situation. So it's not perfect, but he's getting people into the building. They've given away all of those tickets. It's underrated. I think everything they've done with that team has been brilliant so far, and I can only imagine how it's going to go in the future. Underrated, getting people into the building is a value.
Yeah, I think especially if you're younger, like Sai, you were saying when you were in college, I'd pay like 10, 15 bucks. You go for the good times.
Right, yeah.
Or
right,
even if you're a newbie to hockey, like I'm sure a lot of people in Utah might be, right?
Yeah, come catch a game.
Yeah.
You might want to buy a ticket after. It's a great marketing
strategy.
Yeah,
it's like a tease, right? You get to watch half the ice, and if you pay full value, you can see the whole ice.
Or it could be terrible. I don't know.
Could be terrible. You still got a Jumbotron to look at,
okay,
right?
So which side are you on? Is it the one where where Utah shoots at twice or is only going at once?
Don't know.
Because if it's the one where you're only attacking once, that means you get to see your team in under duress for most of the game.
Yes. Unless it's a game like the Bruins where the Canucks are in their own end all the time.
Demko makes like the best save ever. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh my God, like, damn it,
this
missed it.
This guy's a freak.
I missed it. Couldn't see. So the Emirates NBA Cup was last night. Not sure if you guys tuned in.
I did not.
I saw some of it.
So I was watching. They kind of make it. It's in Vegas, obviously. Yeah. They make it a massive deal. The NBA Cup is in town. Right, they got the championship hats, the t-shirts, the champagne in the locker room. And, you know, we're in mid-December.
Yeah.
The season's not close to ending. So I feel like they're kind of trying to make it a thing. It's only the second year, so overrated, underrated, the NBA Cup.
So I think they're in the cringe portion of laying this out, and because it's a novelty, people are like, why are you celebrating with champagne? And they wouldn't celebrate with the champagne. They put the champagne out, but the players wouldn't have it, right?
Yeah. The Bucks they passed on having the champagne party last
night. So they didn't do the champagne party.
No.
I want to see somebody do the champagne party. They put it out for you.
Did the Lakers do it last year?
I can't remember.
The Lakers took a lot of stick for raising the banner right away, too.
Yeah, they were celebrating it pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't you? You won the first. You won a cup. Like, so in soccer, where you have the FA Cup, for instance, in England, you have every league has a domestic cup. We have it in MLS, too, right?
Yeah.
Like the Cascadia and, you know, and all these things. Like, those have decades and maybe a century of history in each country, and they are important. But Reach, you made a great point. The culmination of that isn't mid-season.
No, it's at the end of the season.
Yeah, the EFL Cup gets done earlier,
yeah,
but that's like a third-rate cup. It's not like the, you know, the big cup, for instance, right? So it comes at a later point in the season, and I just think it takes time for people to see the value in it. But I like that they're trying. Like, it's different.
You're never... The thing about this is you're never likely... I mean, who's to say? Never say never. Like, didn't Wigan go all the way to the FA Cup?
Yeah.
Not that long ago. Well, maybe it was that long ago. I don't know. Time is not my best...
It was a long time ago.
...quality of remembering when things happened. Just kind of happened, and everything seems like a couple of years ago, but it was like eight. I just don't see... Like, where the Raptors are this year. They're not... Like, they're never going to make a run in the NBA Cup. They're not even going to sniff it.
Well, you never know.
The underdogs are such big underdogs that I can't see that level of a Cinderella run.
You never know.
Like, are the Montreal Canadiens, the Buffalo Sabres, the Chicago Blackhawks, would they be able to string a few games together and compete in this, like, mid-season cup if it were in an NHL contest?
Okay, so you're not asking them to do it for 15, 20 games. Like, how many games do you play in the NBA Cup if you go to the final?
Maybe five or six.
Five or six
games.
Or seven games or something along those lines. Like, it's that's all it is. Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see it.
Honestly,
time goes
like,
on,
it's overrated.
It.
Like, is the NBA not making enough money already?
What
like, this is all just a money-making ploy.
You got to change things.
The Emirates NBA Cup, you know?
Champion t-shirt.
Did they put
NBA
a sponsor
Cup.
On the Larry O.B.?
Well,
I don't think so, because it's got real meaning to it. It's not a money-made cup.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't be sitting here and talking about how, you know, the season is too long, they have to change things up, and then they do something different. You're like, this is stupid.
Well, I think basketball's got bigger problems. They're kind of like where baseball was a couple of years ago before they made a bunch of rule changes where
just dingers and strikeouts.
The game has gotten all too much of a groupthink and everybody's just taking threes now. And it's just like, what am I watching? It's like a glorified all-star game all the
time.
Well,
it's funny because
the Warriors lost and they took 27 threes the other night.
I know. It's just like
they hit 27 threes.
Yeah. It's all about the threes and the odd drive.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all it is. And I don't know. We don't need to go through too much into NBA being overrated, underrated, because I am an NBA fan, but I am frustrated too.
All right. Sorry to those we could not get to. We were riled up today. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, Canuck Central. We'll continue this with the official pregame show, Utah Hockey Club, next on Sports at 650.